Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
Hey, everybody, it's Coach Chris here with Play in Faith, and I'm excited today. We've got a fantastic guest. We've got the head coach of Maconaqua High School, Mr. Ray Davis, bringing decades of unbelievable coaching experience to the table. It's an absolute treat to have him here. How's it going today, Coach?
Good, Chris. It's been really good today with your first day back from fall break. So it's been really good and exciting to get back in the gym again.
Yeah, it's that time of year. So we tend to record like a week or two before we release episodes, but we are right in the beginning of the season. You got your first scrimmage coming up later this week. And then next week, it is girls basketball season here in Indiana. It's the best time of year. So I'm curious, before we get into some of your background, just give me a little season preview. What can we expect this year? What are we looking at? I know you're returning a lot of high quality talent from a really good season.
Yeah, we are. You know, we're returning every player off our varsity last year. We were able to win the sectional, which is the first time for the school history since like 2001.
Wow.
So I started four sophomores and a junior. So, and I've got a really good core group with that. And then I've got some girls that I actually had two girls that came off the bench that played really well in the sectional and regional, and they could be pushing for some starting time this year, which has made practices very competitive. And then I've got some new kids. I got a girl from Spain that I think will help us, and we got a couple seniors who've shown some improvement also. So practices are very competitive right now, which is really fun.
Nice. So you're the first coach I've had in a while. I think it's indigenous to the profession. It's like, oh, well, we lost some people. It's a rebuilding. Like, we always want to lower the bar. When you return your top nine off of a sectional championship, it's really tough to underscore expectations, right? I mean, people are going to expect you guys to be pretty good.
Right. It is. And that's what, you know, and we've talked about that with the girls about saying, you know, last year we were way under the radar.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't expect us with having sophomores and a lot of inexperienced juniors. So we talked to them about, hey, this year we're not going to walk in a gym and hide. People are going to be coming after us. So I think they've taken that to heart, and it's been really good in practices and them competing with each other and getting ready and getting better each day.
So I think that's fascinating, because we talk a lot on Play in Faith and with some of our mentors a lot about, how do we deal with failure? How do we deal with setbacks? How do we deal with adversity? But the other side of sports, and a beautiful lesson, is sometimes, how do we deal with success? How do we deal with high expectations? So do you see a difference in the way your girls are approaching this season? Or how are they handling some of those expectations, right? You're not the freewheeling underdog anymore.
Right, it is, and that's we've spent some time in our fall break in our team. Like we did like an in-house retreat. We each day at the end of practice. So, you know, we talked to them about you know, last year. You know, we had to really work with them on how to handle as we were being successful, because, you know, when you got four sophomores who haven't had a lot of experience before that, you know, a lot of times when they're not successful on the court, they didn't handle it really well. Because my girls put a lot of pressure on themselves. They hold themselves to a very high standard. So they've had to learn how to handle that part of it. Now with them being successful, and then a lot of them are coming off of our volleyball team was very successful this year. They went to the sectional championship. So they've kind of been working with that. And we've had some people that have talked to them over the summer about how to handle success. And we just told them too, you know what, it's part of the game. You're gonna fail. It's, you know, our motto this year is no excuses. We kind of talked to him about, you know, you can fail and get to success, but you can't have excuses and get to success. So we've been working with that part of it. So they've owned up a lot of things, and I've seen that with them about how, you know, when they make a mistake, it's kind of like the next play mentality.
I love it.
And that's the growth. I think part of it too is just them being a year older. Last year, it's a maturity thing. So we work with that with them every day. I've got really good assistant coaches that will pull them aside on the sideline and work with that also.
I can't remember. I'm going to get the quote wrong. It's either, I think it's Bobby Knight. The best thing about freshmen is that they become sophomores. I
Yes,
think that
that
might have
is
been
what.
an old Bobby Knight quote. So,
Yeah, it is, and that's kind of same thing with my sophomores. Hey, okay, they're sophomores now, even better because they're juniors.
they're all growing
It
up.
is, it is,
Well, it's going to
yes.
be a fun season, and obviously we are a little ways away from you guys, so we don't overlap, but we'll certainly be following your success. And so I know it's been an interesting path. Like, you are relatively new here in this job. Like, you haven't been here two, how many, what year is this?
This is year four.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought you had 3 years under your belt, so year
Yep, this
four.
is year four.
So tell me a little bit about just the journey that got you here, because obviously this is not your first stop on the coaching ladder. This is the latest stop. So tell me a little bit about your coaching journey and what led you here.
Well, it actually started back in college when I attended Manchester College. Now it's Manchester University, but actually I got the opportunity to be a women's assistant coach as a junior in college.
No kidding.
I was taking a coaching class, and the lady that was teaching the class, and she was the head women's coach, and she didn't really have an assistant at that time, so she asked me if I wanted to be assistant. She knew I had aspirations to being a coach, so I kind of did that. Didn't get paid. I was,
Oh yeah.
I got 3 credit hours, so I got some hours that towards college.
You
So I was able to do that, and then I got the opportunity to play my senior year on the men's team. I wanted to take the opportunity to see if I wanted to play it, I guess. So I got the opportunity to go play on the men's team that year at my senior year, and then after that, I knew I wanted to coach. Went to a really small school here in Indiana, at Argus High School. It's about 180 kids in the high school.
Yeah, tiny.
I was the boys JV coach for 5 years, and then the girls head coach left, and they wanted me to take over the girls program. And I thought about that, and I thought, this is my opportunity. If I want to be a head coach, this is my chance to run my own program. And they weren't really successful at the time. So, I think the first year I took over, we won 3 games. I think, our first win, they thought we won the sectional. It was like we're cheering and celebrating that. And then we kind of built. I was there for 2 years, and then actually at my second year there, at that time, our oldest son was diagnosed with leukemia. So I was a stay-home dad during the day. But then I actually got an opportunity to go to Whitco High School here in Indiana to take over the girls program there. And worked out. I was there 5 years, and then I actually had some very successful years there. Actually, when I left there, I was the all-time winningest coach in 5 years. Had some very good talent with that. Then left there and went to Warsaw High School, which is very traditional and known for their basketball program. I was an assistant coach there. Actually, I went to high school at Warsaw for about 6 or 7 years for my middle school and a little bit of my high school. And actually got a chance. We beat Warsaw my last year at Whitco. So when I decided to, when
Oh,
I left Whitco there. The Warsaw coach called me, goes, "Hey, I got an opening on my staff. If you can beat us, how about come join our staff?" And
that's how
so.
Sean Miller just got the Texas job, right?
That's
He
right.
they ex knocks him out of the tournament, and the next day he takes the guy's job. Like, that's
Yeah.
brutal. At least
So
yours was an assistant job.
yeah, it
So
was assistant
I know we
job.
got a
And
lot. I'm teasing because we have a lot of, I think we have a lot of Warsaw folks who listen, thanks to
right.
some stuff we're doing with Lenny over there, and they're doing,
Yeah.
obviously they're running an unbelievable program over at
They
Warsaw
are.
too. So.
And it was very fortunate for me to go there. And actually I came in right at the great, I guess the right time at Warsaw. We had some young talent that came in. We won sectional my first year, which is, you hate to say it in Indiana, but it's kind of like it's ex expected at Warsaw.
Well, they're in a tough
So,
section, but yes, it is
yeah, kind of expected
that's
there.
the
And then
baseline.
I was there. And then in 2004, well, actually, to go back a year, 2003, we were like 21-1 or 21-2 and got beat upset in the sectional. And then that was kind of the year our girls kind of decided, this isn't going to happen again. And we had a very special group that came in that fall year in 2000. In 2004, we had Miss. Actually, we had a girl named Jacqueline Leidinger who actually ended up being Miss Basketball that year. We had the Trustor Award winner who went and played volleyball at Butler. We actually, I think, have 4 out of our 5 starters went and played college either volleyball or basketball somewhere. And we ended up getting, we went on a big run that year. We were state runners up in 4A. And then I coached a couple more years, and then that's when our oldest son was being a freshman in high school, and I kind of decided it's time for me to step down and watch him. So he played for Warsaw for 4 years. So I was very fortunate. Warsaw at that time had ESPN radio, and I got hired to be the color commentator, and so I actually got a chance to watch him play and get paid for it.
Nice. So you stepped away from coaching completely, and were just doing some high school broadcasting for a while, yep. Man. Oh, that's fantastic.
And did some AAU coaching in the spring and summertime with some groups that we had there at Warsaw.
And then coaches can't ever leave. You can't get all the way away.
Nope, it is. And then I thought, okay, this is, and you know, after he got done, I thought I'd get back into coaching. And then he got the opportunity. He went to Purdue and was a manager with Coach Painter there in the men's program. I thought, you know, this is their time for me. I can stay out another a little bit more time. And actually, so I was able to get into some practices when he was there 4 years, got to go to games. You know, I got to we got an opportunity to go to Maui. You know, and watch Purdue win there at Maui. And then when he got done there, it just, the timing was, I guess the Lord just kind of, you know, as we all know, the Lord, he has a plan for us. We may not always see it. But the right when he got done, the Coach Bloom at Grace College was the women's coach. And I've known Coach Bloom for a long time before that. And so he reached out and said, hey, I've got an assistant opening. Would you want to come be an assistant with me? And I said, Coach, this is perfect timing. I'm looking to get back in. I've always wanted to get into college level and work with that. I'm one of the crazy guys, I guess. If you look, I love recruiting.
Okay. Yeah. There's always room on a staff for a good recruiter, right? That's the part the head coach usually wants to outsource. Yeah.
I love going and evaluating players and seeing how they fit into your program.
Sure.
So I was there with Coach Bloom, and then Coach Bloom decided he left and went down to Tennessee to Cumberland University. And so then there's another time. Do I, you know, is this time for me to step away again, or do I still look into coaching? I look at a couple of positions. A good friend of mine took over the Rochester job, and so he was looking for an assistant. He was a first time head coach, had never been a head coach before, so he was looking for an experienced guy to come in. So I went in as an assistant there, and then he stepped away, and then this job now where I'm at now, McConaughey opened up, and I thought, you know what, before I'm done, I want to be a head coach again. And I knew this was a great opportunity. I knew the kind of players that coming back. I also wanted to make sure it was the right opportunity administration wise.
Sure.
So I was very fortunate that the new AD that hired me was the old boys coach. He just stepped down from the boys coach and took over the AD position. So I thought this is
great. I got a basketball guy in charge.
Who's going to show support. And he's been very supportive the 4 years I've been there. And that's kind of where I've been at, you know. I've had some opportunities to go to Africa, you know, when I was in Grace, and we can talk about that
later.
But,
I'm going to ask you about that.
I had some opportunities. So I've just been, I'm a basketball junkie. I mean, even when I wasn't in the actual, like maybe a coaching position, I was coaching AAU. I had to keep my foot in somewhere, or I'd maybe sometimes go to practices and help some of my friends at practices if it was at the middle school level or even working camps in the summertime. I was always in the gym doing something.
Oh, it gets in your blood. Like my wife like laughs. I mean, we have a couple other businesses, and then obviously, you know, running Play in Faith, and hopefully we're building a nationwide mission here. And between my fifth grade daughter, my eighth grade daughter, I'm the head coach of the school for her. And then some of the, you know, like elite travel teams, like it's 7 days a week. And then when I come home, they want to shoot the driveway with the lights on for a couple hours. So yeah, I'd say in a normal week, probably 25 to 30 hours of basketball, which is not ideal if you're trying to run a company, but we're loving life, man. It's a beautiful season of life. And it's just such a cool way to bond with your family when, you know, I imagine you guys have the same thing. Like it's a labor, but it's a labor of love. It's where you want to be. I'm really fascinated. So obviously you're at Grace, and then you mentioned your travels took you to Africa. So I talked to a lot of coaches. Not many of them spend time coaching teams in Africa, or specifically the Ivory Coast. So one, how the heck did you end up over there? And two, just tell me a little bit about that experience. That's really wild.
Yeah. And actually, my first stint to Africa was the summer between, like, when I went from, I was at Witco, and the funny thing, I look at it, and it's, you know, I was heading into coaching. I was really going full tilt with it, and maybe even to the point where maybe too much was it. So I actually got, you know, when I left Witco, and I actually lost a teaching job because of a reduction in force in Indiana. So at the school I was at, and then I was at church on a Sunday morning, and Coach Jim Kessler, who's a longtime men's coach at Grace College, we attended church together, and he saw me on a Sunday and goes, hey, you know, hey, I'm putting together a group to go over to Kenya, to do like a 21-day tour, putting on basketball clinics, working with the organization with True Love Weights about AIDS awareness. He goes, I think you really go. And I go, Coach, I gotta find a job. I've got a family. I've got to find a job and stuff. But then I got home and talked to my wife, and my wife goes, you can't turn this down, Ray. This is a great opportunity. Yeah, you know, we can work. We'll work this out. You know, when you get back, and she goes. She was the first one also said, you know, the Lord put this in your path. This is your opportunity.
That's a pretty loud. That's a pretty loud God thing, right? I mean, you want to be in coaching, and now you get to do this. You can't say no.
So I was able to go to Kenya. We were over there, like I said, 21 days. Put on clinics and got to know some of the people in Kenya, and just really turned. You know, opened my eyes. You know, here in the United States, you know, sometimes we think maybe we don't have everything. You go to a third world country, we have a ton. We have a lot that people don't really realize. So that kind of opened my eyes and really maybe refocused my life, I would say. But then when I got done with that, I always knew, ever had the opportunity ever again, I want to go back to Africa. I just love the experience I had there. I want to get back there anytime. So, you know, it was, you know, you're looking probably 9-10 years later. The NCCAA was always held at Grace College. The national tournament was held there. Sure. Well, Athletes in Action, they came and they had a booth. So I went up and talked to them and kind of got, hey, what's your guys' mission? What do you guys like to do? And they kind of told, hey, we put together tours of like D1 players or maybe some NIA players. We go over to different countries and we usually play against their national teams, maybe help with training stuff. And I said, well, I might be interested in helping out with that sometime. And so they say, oh, send us your information. So I sent them their information. They had a tour going to the Ivory Coast, and they asked me, hey, would you want to be an assistant coach? We have a head coach, and she needs an assistant. I said, yeah, I'd love to go. Awesome. So it was funny. We had girls that were a lot of from D1. We actually had one girl who was in the WNBA who hurt her knee, and she was coming back, so she was going to use this tour to try and rehab, get back on the court, and go. So. Reach out. So we had been planning for about a month, and you raise money to do this to help pay your way and everything. And I'm sitting in church, and my phone rings off. And I see it's Athletes in Action. I said, well, I can call them back after you get out of church. So I get out of church, and they go, hey, Ray, how's it going? I said, oh, pretty good. And they go, got a question for you. They go, our head coach, she got a new job, and so she can't go to Africa. So she needs to take over this program, get back on the recruiting track and do that. She goes, we were wondering if you'd want to take over the head coaching position and take this group to Ivory Coast. And I'm going, really?
There you go.
So I said, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, when you've been an assistant and you've been an assistant at, you know, at the NAI level and stuff, and now you're going to go take, you know, over to girls who play in
a national team
go to another country. We had girls from Northwest. We had girls from Northwestern, girls from Iowa State. Wow. So a lot of big time D1 programs. But so I said, yeah. So we worked through that. I got to be those young ladies were just fabulous young ladies, and still friends with most of them. We keep in contact over the years. And so when we got over there, we ran. We played 3 or 4 exhibition games against their national team. They were getting ready for what's called the Afro. It's kind of like the Olympics for Africa.
Yeah, like African Cup or something like that. Or
yeah. So we were helping. We'd go and play against their national team. We put on clinics. Like we had every time that we played them. Usually there was a coaches clinic, mm-hmm. so they would bring in coaches from all over Ivory Coast, all in Africa. They would come in, and then I would speak. Maybe one day was on shooting. Another day was, you know, maybe on program development on defense. So they gave me topics to talk about. So we used our players to demonstrate that. And then we'd go out and run clinics for kids. And so that was, you know, that was just something that, and those girls that were the D1 kids, it was very eye-opening with them about how, you know, their love of wanting to share and mentor the other players from the Ivory Coast. They were very, I mean, they were open, you know, these are kids that are, you know, they were, you know, D1 on scholarship.
Sure.
And, you know, so, but they were going on this trip, but they would, I would see them in between, if it was in between games, you would see him up in the bleachers. You know, one or two of our players would be sitting with like eight or nine of their players, and just talking to them about their experiences. And our girls wanted to know about their experiences too.
Right.
So I think
that's the coolest thing
about
high level athletes. I'm finding that even with our mission, like we're bringing a lot of mentors on, and I'm interviewing all these incredible college athletes who are coming to us who want to mentor. And I'll get to the end and tell them that we're going to compensate them well. And half of them are like, oh, I didn't know we got paid, which makes me like, and I just chuckle. And I'm like, they didn't even view it as a job application. They view it as, man, I am so blessed to have this opportunity to do something I love. And they just want to share it with others. What a cool experience for you to get to be around that. That's amazing.
Yeah. And it was because then we were able to, I keep in contact with a couple guys over there that were coaches and, hey, can you send us your offenses on man-to-man defense or man-to-man, whatever. So all on that line. So that's been good. And it is. And it's even, when I go out and talk now to different coaches, I'm also a mentor in the IBCA here in Indiana with the coaches. And I tell
awesome.
You ever get an opportunity to leave the States and go do if it's through Athletes of Action or if there's other organizations to try and go out and see what's out there and just mentor younger coaches, do the best you can. So, I've been very blessed with that and opportunity. And I guess I wish I would have had mentors when I was starting to coach. I had some.
Sure.
And at the time, you don't probably realize that they are mentors. Now when you go back and look at it, like, oh man, they were really mentoring me.
So we need two things, right? We need the mentor. We need the humility to be mentored, which is sometimes so tough when you're young and hungry and just want to earn that respect. So I have an interesting question for you. I think you have a unique perspective. So you've gone from basically every different level imaginable, both boys and girls, from JV to different varsity programs of different levels of caliber, like big schools, elite programs, smaller schools, college. So what is it like when you start spending time with high-level D1 kids, professional athletes, and now we downshift back down to high school? And the reason I ask is, like, I think I go through this, and a lot of people who listen who coach their kids who have more than one kid. And I'll have my eighth grade practice for a week, and then I go back to my fifth graders, and I have to take a second and be like, there's a few things we can't do. Right. There's just a little bit like we can't make that skip pass. We can't pass across space. We're not going to intuitively slip a screen or some of the things I want my eighth graders to do. So how do you make that downshift back down to, I guess, what did you learn from coaching pros that you can take back to your high schoolers? And how do you kind of make that adjustment back down to a different level?
Well, and the big thing was I actually got the opportunity to talk to some of those players about their like individual workouts, what they do outside of court. And
love it.
It's basically the same thing that we're doing with middle school kids, high school kids. It's they're working on their basics. They're working on their individual skills. Because
say that one more time, because all these parents at home that have these YouTube videos where I want my kid to do a triple behind the back, crazy double pump hanging layup, which is going to turn a coach like you off when you see a kid doing that. And you're like, oh, please stop. So they're working on what? Say it again.
They're working on their basic individual skills because that's what got them to where they're at. And they even to, they still do that when they were, when you got the girls, and I even talk to our girls now. We'll share videos of like if it's Caitlin Clark or if it's Seth Curry, like what Seth Curry's ball handling is before games.
Yeah,
it's the basic. I don't want to say it's not junior high, but that's what he does. And he relies on that every day. That's what got him to where he's at. So that's the one thing. And I mentioned to our girls, if it's at the college level or at the high school level, I've been at when I work with some of the girls. At the D1 level on that trip, they told me they go coaches. It's stuff that we did when we were junior high. Maybe we're doing it at a higher level, but we're still doing ball handling every day. We're still doing form shooting. We're still watching film. That's probably the one thing that I probably implemented the most from learning from them is getting your players to watch film. Because you can learn a lot and learn a lot from that. And it's nowadays, especially at the high school level with all the programs, they have all the different, like we have Huddle at our school.
And you
can break that stuff down. But it comes down to just the basics. And I think a lot of kids, like you said, a lot of kids and parents think, we've got to do all this high level stuff that they see some of these kids doing, but they realize it took a lot of work and a lot of hard work to get to that point. And you can't skip the basics. You've got to stick to the basics.
Yeah, some of those are adaptive reactions in games that are based off the fact that you can take one dribble, stick, and hit an 18-foot jump shot. And then, so I mean, a lot of that is in, what was it? I think 3 years ago, over spring break, we took, I took both my daughters. We went to Albany for the regional final with Iowa and LSU. So it was Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, like big, probably one of the biggest women's basketball games ever. So we're there like 2 hours early when they first opened the gates. Caitlin Clark is out there with her trainer. And she got 200 makes in about 10, 12 minutes. And they were around the rim, mid-range, three, one dribble pull, one dribble hesitation, finish at the rim, catch and shoot, went back to the locker room and filmed it. And that's the first thing we came back and told our girls, right? When they're like, do we have to do form shooting? I was like, well, if Caitlin Clark and Devin Booker and Steph Curry can, I think we can knock out 10 minutes too,
Right. And
right?
that's what,
And
and our practice is that way. We come at like we put on the clock. We go like anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes every, and our gears know they need to be out there when that clock starts and they're doing form shooting. And we did that. We do the same thing work out in the summertime. And I actually, I know I talked to one, you had Kyle Mangus on
Yeah,
about a
Kyle's
week
amazing.
ago, a couple of weeks ago. And Kyle and I got together last summer and I talked to him about, hey, what can you tell me about your development, your guard, what do you use for guard development? And it was stuff, and I've known Kyle since he's been real little. It's stuff that I knew I saw Kyle do when he was like in fifth grade, sixth grade, and he's still doing it, and he's a professional now. So
I
it's
asked him the same question because like that's always one of my questions for anyone I get on the show because like I'm like I have two daughters who love hoops, right? I mean like they come in the gym, they're when everyone's messing around, they're getting their form shots up. When everyone goes home, they want to stay. And I had to drag my daughter, my eighth grader, out today. I was like, I got to come talk to Coach Davis. Go change your sneakers. We've been here 3 hours. We got to go. But I like that notion, and Kyle talked about it too, of that are we getting in some work, or are we getting up shots? And there's a big difference. And there's nothing wrong with, every once in a while, play horse with your kid. Like last night, my daughter's like, hey, let's just shoot around and have some fun. Like this isn't all serious. But if we're going to be in the gym, we're not taking dumb hook shots. We're not doing granny shots. We're going to get some good fundamental work in.
And we talked to our kids about that too, about how it's not the amount of time you're in the gym, it's the quality of work that you do while you're in the gym. You can be in the gym for half hour, 40 minutes and get a lot more work than if you're in there for 2 hours. It's the
Amen.
quality of work that you put in. So
So I know you've got a background in recruiting too. So when you mentioned, you said you love recruiting, and I think this is always an interesting topic for, as we mentioned before, like the majority of our audience, I think we do have some young athletes that listen, but for the most part, we're talking to parents of athletes, we're talking to youth coaches, I'm talking to high school coaches, and a lot of the people that they're coaching, that's the dream, right? They dream of being a standout varsity player and being all conference. They dream of taking that next step and, playing in college and beyond. So obviously talent matters. You have to be very, very good at your sport. In our case, we're talking basketball. But there's a lot of kids that are really good at basketball. There's a lot of kids that have really good stats on a piece of paper. So when you walk in a gym, beyond just scoring, what makes a kid pop?
That's a great question because I tell our parents this. I tell anybody who I talk to them is if a coach is there scouting you, recruiting you, like you said, they already know that you can play. They're looking for the intangibles. What can you bring to our when I was at Grace, and what can you bring to our program? I would go, I would go and watch. And honestly, the first, and I tell our kids this too. I said the first 5 or 6 minutes of a game, I'm watching the parent in the stands.
I'm
How are they
hearing this
handling?
over and over again. I'm hearing this, and this is like every time I'm surprised. Okay, good. All right, go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. So how are the parents? Are they cheering for everybody in the team? Are they cheering? Or are they cheering just for their daughter? Or on that, are they the are they are is the player and parent making eye contact? Because that's in high school you don't see it as much. AAU you see a lot more, but
Oh, I see it way too much. I beg my kids. I'm like, look at me. We'll talk to mom and dad after the game, right? We don't need to look at mom and dad. It's such a bad habit.
it is. And then and the other thing, like what, so with the player part of it is on the floor, the things I would always look at is, if you make a mistake, How are you handling that? Is your head going down? Are your arms going up in the air? Like, you know, what? How are you handling that? And that's hard, especially for people who are very critical of how they play. Because, you know,
most kids are. Yeah.
Yep. And so they've got to learn how to handle that. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, we would watch that. And then on the kind of piggyback with that, then when they go off the court, how are they, are they going through the line? Are, you know, are they giving high fives to their teammates? Are, you know, yeah, you can sit, think about what, maybe what you need to improve, but then are you cheering on your teammates? Are you part of the group? Or are you just sitting there on the bench soaking, you know, about what you didn't do or why am I out or something along that line? Yeah. But the biggest thing too is, that we would look for is just how they interact with their teammates. If it's on the floor, if it's off the floor. So there, you know, those are probably the biggest things I would look at for recruiting wise. And honestly, it's, you know, if you'd hate to say it or hold it against a kid, but if a parent is yelling at an official, if a parent is, you know, yelling at, you know, that's not going to change just because you go from high school to college.
Right.
It's going to be that way there. So, you know, you got to take that in consideration. And it's not just when we go, it's just that we just don't go one time and watch, you know.
Yeah, of course. I mean, everyone's going to have a bad moment. We called him, right. I did an interview yesterday with the baseball coach. He called it out. Yeah. He's like, dude, I've had a few bad dad moments. I'm not proud of it, but I mean, I think it's interesting that, I mean, I've had this conversation now probably 5 or 6 times, and all of you coach at different places. It's different sports. Yep. And the recurrent theme is that a parent can be a disqualifying factor in the recruiting process, even though the kid can play and academically qualifies. And the other recurrent theme is, look, we know you can play. That's why we're at this point. Yep. But how do you conduct yourself? Are you a leader? I had the same conversation with, I think, Ethan over at IWU, talking about, like, he wants people that, like, other teammates just want to be around.
Right.
And it sounds silly, but I mean, that's the differentiator. But I think most people still think that it's just score buckets. And it's just not right.
No. And Ethan does a great job at IWU. We go to his team camp every summer and our girls love it. And you can, even there in the summertime, you can see that his players love to be around each other.
Yeah.
And this is camp in the summertime. So, I mean, you see that. So he does hold that a lot. And that's, you know, that's our thing when we try and get with our girls and we try to talk to them about that, you know, enjoy the process. Mm-hmm. Don't get caught up in the outcome as much because it goes fast. So we kind of talk to our kids about that and we want them to be good teammates. And if, you know, like, you know, you asked me at the beginning of the podcast is, you know, how you kind of keep your kids, you know, that way to handle success.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably our biggest thing that we're working with our kids this year, mm-hmm. is being good teammates, because we do have very high competitive girls. And sometimes when they get mad at themselves, you know, they don't realize how it looks like on film until we show it to them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, ooh, that doesn't look like a good teammate. And so it's a learning process for them. And so that's something as adults, it's our job to kind of help them through that. Because we preach over and over with our girls, you know, we've had, I think, one girl at McConaughey that was an Indiana All-Star who has spent time playing professionally. I said, most of you probably aren't going to go to the NBA or go play professionally. So what can you take from learning to be a good teammate into your adult life? Because most of you are going to be in some type of business, or you might be, you know. Exactly. And we also talked to him this year a lot about giving a piece of yourself to the team, and it may not be the piece that you want to give. And that's hard.
It is.
You
know,
sometimes you have to give something that is what's best for the team. And it's not always what you want to give.
Especially at that age. So right. I know I always struggle with this. We're already like at the 35 minute mark. I do this every show. I always say 25 to 30. And I can talk hoops until like our internet provider goes down here. So as we kind of transition, last kind of question or thought, because I think that this is such valuable stuff here. So everyone says we value character. We value being a good teammate. We say it to the girls or the guys. We preach it to them. Everyone says it. What are some things that coaches at home, maybe things we can take from your program to really get that that output that we want, where we are being awesome teammates even when things may not be going perfect. Like, what are some things that you guys are doing to build some of that, or what are some things that coaches at home can do to really help those teammate lessons kind of anchor?
Well, I think what at least what we're trying to do is it's I've given some of the responsibility to my assistants this year to really help our girls with that. When they're off the court, they they're not staying myself. They're I've got I'm very fortunate. I have at least three coaches other than myself at every practice. So they go stand by a coach. So they kind of so they kind of help them kind of point things out. We're trying to get them. I stole this from Coach Painter at Purdue. When somebody makes a good pass, even if you can't say it verbally, point to them.
Magic Johnson, baby. Let's go. Yeah.
Point to them. And so it just,
Love it.
redoing that. I think the big thing is just, we in practice now, we've always done this. I've always in practice with three positive things that we did today in practice.
Love it.
This year, and I told, I said, girls, I, it doesn't have to be things as a team. If you see if you see that there is an individual that did something outstanding today, or you did something like that tonight, we are practice. I had, and I said, all right, tonight, seniors. I got four seniors. Seniors, I want you guys to give us three positive things tonight. Practice. I had my four seniors and a junior. They all picked out an individual
Love it.
that they saw and said, hey, we. Well, I noticed you tonight. Or my, I got a freshman point guard who's going against, a 2 year starting point guard who led the team in steals, and the freshman's finding out what it's like to play at a
Oh
varsity level,
yeah.
and one of, and the girl that was on her team that's a starting guard for me said, hey, Brenna, you're okay. You're going against a really really good guard. Don't get frustrated. We're seeing positive things in you. So
That's awesome.
that didn't happen last year. So we're seeing growth. I think part of it is that we're trying to just make that an emphasis this year. And I think with the young coaches, that's one thing you've got to do is you've got to make that an important point and emphasis in every day that you're with your girls. And I think also seeing, we try and do, the girls come to my house, for Christmas, or we get together, seeing them how you react with your coaches, showing that where you guys are all on the same page in practice. And I tell my coaches that, hey, we can talk in a coaches meeting. We might disagree on some things that we've needed, but when we go out,
Sure.
we're a unit. And we have been since I've been there. So it's just been
Love
right.
it.
And that's something I picked up from coaches at Warsaw and over the years is just being, I think if is as the as an adult, if you are if you're showing that to the other people in your program, the girls pick up on that. They're,
Yeah.
I've been very fortunate. I get very intelligent girls, and you know as well as I do. You can't pull over anything over on teenagers. They know
No,
when
no,
they know when you,
no.
yeah, they know when you're not sincere. So
Sure.
if you're sincere and you build a relationship with your players outside of basketball, they'll go all out for you in practices. And I, like I
Yeah.
said, I think our biggest thing for us this year, and I've seen the growth so far, is just implement and showing examples in practice and having the giving them opportunity to pick teammates out.
Yeah.
Because the five girls that got called out, right, their faces got red. They didn't know how to handle it. So now we got to work with those girls on how to handle positive reinforcement back.
Well,
So
I
it's
guarantee it landed,
they,
though. I
yeah.
guarantee it landed. And like,
Oh
I
yeah.
mean, I think it's one thing that like all coaches, or at least all good coaches, are trying to instill that, look, we have a lot of power with our words and our actions. And that we can influence our team's success, not just with what we do physically, but by building up those around us mentally. I've never seen anyone in any walk of life perform better at any task when they feel terrible about themselves. And as teammates and coaches and leaders, we have that opportunity to build each other up, bring out the best in each other. Not only are we going to be a lot more successful, but man, it's going to be a heck of a lot more fun. Too. So I know I've run way over,
Oh,
man.
that's
I know
fine.
you guys are going to have fun this year. You're the first coach I've had who's admitted to some high expectations this season. So I'm going to tell you that me and all of our listeners, we are going to be praying for you and your
Good.
girls. Have a successful season. Keep building successful leaders on and off the floor. And hopefully, we're going to see you guys playing deep into February and I think that's the only way to state, right? All the way to the end of February.
That'd be nice, but
Let's see you guys play
yeah.
for a nice long run. So, Coach, thank you so
Yep.
much. I appreciate it. And again, we're going to be praying for you this season.
Okay.
Thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to the Plan Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit planfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.